Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Queensland mourns the death of league, New South Wales mourns the death of freedom, and we mourn the death of the Panthers' premiership window. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit Boys, live from, well, one of us is live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram, FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's a man who this week opened a new bedspread store in Oatley, but is second-guessing calling the shop Sid's Super Spreader Party. He's been revealed as the Federal National Party's kingmaker as he backed the Barnaby Joyce tilt for the leadership. And tonight he's wearing a COVID-safe welder's mask. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Barnaby, you mad shagger. So you want to be a champion? So glad we've got you back, Barnaby, so we can use that sting again. I've missed that one. We actually got chipped last week for mentioning his name and not playing this. But that's the only good news out of this week, former.
and out of Barnaby getting the job.
Devastating times this week, former. Boris shut down our live shows. I've been crying since Thursday. But we'll be back at a later date to tell dick jokes to a live audience. One day, maybe.
Did you see poor old Barnaby got fined for not wearing a mask? He hates protection, doesn't he? He just hates it. Filthy on it.
Filthy on a bit of protection.
Jeez. Put something over something, Barnaby, for Christ's sake. Look at the mess it's got you in. Yeah. I loved how he swore that he'd be faithful on a stack of Bibles, saying he'd lead the party with faith. He wouldn't know faith if it slapped him in the face. He wouldn't know faith if it wore a mask, that's for sure.
Unless faith works down the strippers. There's a chance that's what he was referring to.
And which premier have you got at home? We've got the one who tries to fight a bushfire from spraying the smoke with water from behind it, pushing it up the mountain. You imbecile, Gladys. For a week too late, you shut down the councils that have already got COVID, you imbecile. For God's sake, woman. Man, whatever you are.
You won't be hearing me stick up for Boris anymore. She's on my shit list.
I'll tell you what now, I'm a Barnaby man.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's do this.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Royala Sun, and it's Sexpert shares four simple words you should always say during sex.
How do you become a sexpert, former?
You're asking the wrong friend, bike, my friend. I've got one good story about a futon that I was saving for Saturday, and that's it. I got nothing after that.
I'm now, just thinking about that story. No wonder I've been crying since Thursday. That one is going to be a great show.
According to Sexpert, Dr. Emily Morse, wouldn't mind using the Morse code if you know what I'm saying, Sid. It's the only joke I come up with this whole story.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you are talking about, but continue.
Using a simple phrase in the sack is a great way to improve your skills. And the doctor, that's right, doctor of human sexuality, reassures that it helps with couples communication too. Doctor of human sexuality, Sid, you're a doctor of love, you were telling me. On Instagram, the love guru told her 393,000 followers, in my opinion, one of the hottest things ever is when a partner says those four little magic words, is it in yet? Do you like this?
I'm glad I didn't go with that one later.
Oh, there's a chance we'll have a crossover here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's a phrase you don't want to hear. We've had a crossover.
Unless it's your brother. No dramas there. While you may think you know what your partner needs, there's always room for improvement, Sid, I'll say.
I reckon.
Or a re-sleeve, whatever. By asking the question, you're either affirming what you're doing is pleasurable or providing the opportunity to give directions. Checking in during sex and letting your partner know when you're doing something right leads to more pleasure and a deeper connection and better communication in other areas of life. It's the key to sexual success, says Dr. Emily. One commenter wrote, "I love when my partner asks me if something feels good." Another said, "Amen. Communication is key and the way to grow, connect on a deeper level." A third wrote, "This is always appreciated and actually it's a turn on." And a fourth man from Oatley wrote, it was a woman from Oatley. "I love it when my husband asks, 'Do you like this?' Especially when he whispers it in my ear in Dan Murphy's as he holds up a box of Coolabah Moselle on special at $9 a cask."
$9 a cask, that's a good price. Get straight on that.
It's wine and a pillow, that's right. Other commenters disagreed with the four words Dr. Emily put up, saying there were better four-word phrases to be used in the boudoir. They included, "When's your husband home?" "What's 50 get me?" "Your sister sucks harder." "Falsies, in or out?" But the one that gets everyone going is, "Maguire should sign Finnegan."
100%. I'm barring up just thinking about it.
Harder than a cat's head.
Well, that's the route I went down as well, Former. I've got the top five four-word phrases you don't want to hear when you're about to have sexy times. Let's hit it.
Five.
"I'm a Sharkies fan." Big turn off.
Although I will set off "I'm a Sharkette."
Very true. Number four, things you don't want to hear when you're about to have sexy times. "Poke it through that hole." Tricked ya.
Oh, again with the tricks. You weren't filming that, were you?
No. Of course not. Here's number three.
That'd be weird.
Four-word phrases you don't want to hear when you're about to have sexy times.
Three.
"I've got a podcast." It's not a pickup line. Everyone's got a fucking podcast. No one cares. Number two.
Two.
"You don't want to hear this. Let's compare dick sizes."
Or cross swords, whatever.
Here we go. Number one.
One.
Number one of the four-word phrases you definitely don't want to hear when you're about to have sexy times. "Hi, I'm Jared Hayne."
And the other four-word phrases, "That's my mate Jack."
What's the next story you got, Former?
It's from the Dorigo Daily.
Yeah, what have they got to say?
Adult film star Adriana Cechich admits plan for orgy with fans in the next 3 months.
Cool.
Obviously one of the stars of Porn Star Athlete.
Yeah.
A porn star has shocked and delighted her fans by promising to stage a fan gangbang. Hope I pronounced that correctly. Sometime in the coming few months.
This is how I know Adriana Cechich's name, from that Porn Star Athlete app.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the 95 videos you got on your cupboard. US adult actress Adriana Cechich, who recorded her first group sex scene in 2013, one of the greats, made the surprising promise in a Reddit AMA. That's Ask Me Anything, I found out.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Whenever a porn star takes part in one of these social sites' popular no-holds-barred questions, it says, who wrote this?
Someone
inevitably asks, have you or would you ever bang a fan? The answers vary, but many performers try to remain diplomatic. Adriana, though, has a forthright answer, replying, "A fan gangbang is on my 3-month radar."
It's good to have goals.
I'd like to see what's on the 2-month radar. Which is exactly why we cancelled on Saturday's live show, Sid. Actually, that's the actual words you said before Saturday's live show. A fan gangbang is on my 3 month radar. Right, show's off. Predictably, a huge number of fans demanded to know just how they could get involved with replies such as, amazing, how do you sign up for that? Where do I have to send my resume so I can join? And the more circumspect, I'll have to swap a shift at IGA at Oatly.
I got plenty of sickies, I'll be there.
Adriana has, you'll need them after you've gone through here. Adriana has as yet provided no details on where this event might be taking place or where it might be staged.
She did
answer over the trolleys. She did answer a number of more general questions about the changing face of the adult entertainment industry and in particular the surging popularity of such sites as OnlyFans, which has seen a huge increase in traffic during the pandemic. Interestingly, in response to which career path she might have chosen, had she not gotten involved in porn, Adriana said that she'd been keen to work with robots, saying she actually would be building prosthetics or working in robotics. I mean, what can I say, Sid? Robotics loss is fat blokes at home with their undies on their computers gain.
Yeah, poor old Adriana.
Set the world of robotics back a decade, they reckon.
We knew by this stage that we'd have robots everywhere. It's because of this, because of her daddy issues, that I haven't got robots doing all my chores. But it's true. It's true, Former. If I didn't do this podcast, I'd probably be a brain surgeon or an astronaut or a brain surgeon on the International Space Station, cover off both of them. A real sliding doors moment in my life meeting you, Former. You've held me back.
Certainly, you've got the hex debts to prove that you should have been doing that.
But I wondered why you were so keen during the week to go get your COVID vaccination and book a trip to the US of A. Now it's all become clear.
F-C-T-T-B. This is the best story of the week. Comes from the Braidwood Bible. Aussie-themed restaurant blasted for job advertisement for a waitress. An Australian-themed restaurant in England has drawn criticism over a racy job advert on its Facebook page. The ad is for a shift on Saturdays and describes the ideal candidate as a Sheila with nice bazookas.
Nothing wrong with that.
Obviously someone from the Middle East. It goes on to list other desirables such as a great smile and smart lower regions.
Interesting.
The owner of the restaurant has defended the posting, saying that it's just typical Aussie banter, Braidwood Bible reports. The full listing for the job, which now been taken down for some reason from the Facebook page, read, vacancy for a Sheila with nice bazookas. Not bazookas. Must have a great smile and smart lower regions, but not talk a lot.
Oh, dream woman.
Must be fully conversant with Aussie footy. I'm out. 4x4s and eat steak cooked no more than medium rare. Being nice to the landlord at all times will result in an undisclosed bonus system which the landlady needs not know about ever. Tattoos, body piercing, Botox, silicon implants are all allowed but must be read or checked by the landlord on a weekly basis. Uniform is provided to the lucky Sheila. Please message Charlotte for an interview. G'day, mates.
Yeah, this guy doesn't sound dodgy at all.
The listing received as many as 15 likes, loves and ha-ha reactions, pretty much like a Sid Punts tweet, as well as several comments before it was taken down. But a Marshapel resident, who wishes to not be named, says there have been numerous complaints about the post. But owner of the Outback, Frank Welsh, who spent about 10 years in Australia after joining the Australian Navy as an engineer, defended the post as just typical Aussie banter. It's just a joke, he said. All our friends got it straight away. It's just a pure joke. It's ridiculous to think anything else. Of course I'm not going to check tattoos, body piercings or any other stuff. The post is just a bit of banter, Sid. Frank initially opened the restaurant during the COVID-19 pandemic, like all good restaurants. He sure can read a market. You'd like to be in a punting syndicate with this bloke. And was able to start welcoming customers as restrictions eased.
Yeah, look, I've got no dramas with this. A bit of Aussie banter. Everyone that's getting on social media, it's mostly the Yanks. They don't get our humour.
G'day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Have you ever noticed?
One of the greats.
Have you ever noticed the girls that work road gangs that hold that stop and go signs?
It's got nothing to do with microphones, mate. I don't know why you're bringing up road.
They are always good sorts former. I reckon there's a policy in place for Sheilas with nice bazookas that no one really talks about, but they all know the rules.
NRL Round Review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Yeah, it was NRL Origin 2, Sid, and it was up there at Fat Horse Stadium, and the Blues secured the 2021 State of Origin Series with a Queensland whitewash, running in 4 tries to duck eggs to win 26 points to nil. It was 18-0 at halftime, and the Blues kept the Maroons pointless, much like their attack for the entire game, fighting over a bone in every opportunity the Queenslanders had. The home team had a couple of chances in the second half, but this guy...
Panthers winger Brian
knocked the ball free from Kyle Felt's arms and forced a knock-on from Valentine Holmes on another occasion. But to be fair, the Blues never looked troubled against the Queensland team, who had a number of players out with injury or by not being Queenslanders.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it, former. Just going to say what everyone's thinking, especially Queenslanders. This is the death of State of Origin football, former. The Cockroaches have now won 1 series in a row. The concept is dead. I'm calling for the return of city versus country. Relegate all the shithouse Queensland teams to a second-tier comp with the West Tigers and a Riverina team, like Buzz said. But in this game, as we were in the first game, we were just too good for the Maroons. We basically had a decade where their team was heaps better than ours. It's now our turn. We're totally dominant. Some of that stuff from To'o, who else was it? Tommy Turbo, just desperate defence. They were just too good all over the park. And with a young squad, could be our decade.
Yeah, just here's a stat for those playing at home. The last time Queensland won an Origin series, we're in lockdown for COVID.
Wow. This is why people tune in for these amazing stats.
Now, while it wouldn't be right to say Latrell Mitchell won the game for the Blues on his own in the first half, it would be fair to say that without the centre playing fullback who plays centre, the Blues would not have been up by 18 at halftime. He stripped a ball from Kyle Felt that led to the Blues' first try and then took an intercept to run 85 metres to score the second try of the game. He scored a try, made 155 metres with the ball, made 10 tackles and 5 tackle busts to secure most people's man of the match, but not the people who judge the Man of the Match award.
Yeah, what was that about? Was the fix in or what?
Once again, they just picked Tedesco. Like, he was okay, but I actually don't think it was one of Teddy's best games.
No, I thought that as well. When you're that good, even if you have a shit game, it's still pretty good. Mm. But this was my policy former that Freddie Fittler ran with in this series, picking 4 fullbacks just to roam all over the park, smash the Queenslanders everywhere. And it was a roaring success. Latrell has had 2 great games, and he's not finished yet. And he spoke really well after the game, showing how much pride he has in the Blues jersey, fighting back into the squad after being dropped. Whereas the Queensland captain, Cherry Evans, he just cried after the game. The Bulldogs instantly ringing up his manager to see if he'll sign with the Doggies next year. He'll fit right in there with all those tears.
Did you clean up on the Bluebet special?
Sure did.
Oh,
loaded up.
What did I tell you? It's money for jam, that.
$4.
Bluebet hate money. That's all
yeah,
I can put it down to.
They're just throwing it at the punters. It's good on them too.
Well, Sid, this might be the biggest story of the year. Nathan Cleary's season could be over with fears the Panthers and Blues star might have to undergo surgery after a grade 4 acne tear. Cleary was sent for scans on a shoulder injury. Must be unrelated. He suffered while starring in New South Wales' win last Sunday. If the 23-year-old does go under the knife, ooh, that could get messy, he could miss up to 4 months, effectively ending his season. However, Penrith are hopeful surgery, if needed, could be put off until the end of the season. NRL physio says the Panthers need to balance risk v reward when it comes to their co-captain. If surgery is delayed until season's end, Cleary could miss between 3 to 6 weeks while working on strengthening the shoulder. However, that option could have put him at risk of further injuring his shoulder when returning to the field if it's later this year. It comes after Blues coach Brad Fittler revealed it's pretty unlikely Cleary will play game 3 on Wednesday, the 14th of July.
Well, thankfully, we've already wrapped up the series, but that is the end of the Panthers premiership tilt. If he's out, former, what do you reckon?
What's the window? How's the window going?
The window's dead set smashed. Get Windows O'Brien's in. Quick smart. It's over.
Board that joint up.
Yeah. Like all the other windows around the Penrith area. It's over. Surely they've got to risk him, keep him going, because... like I said, he's going to be one of these guys that wins 10 origins and loses 8 grand finals. They got to keep him on the field and have a crack, surely.
Well, if they can't, like obviously if he does just say, I can't make the rest of the year, the obvious replacement for him is Michael Morgan.
Absolutely. Who do we get in as the Blues halfback?
Well, obviously there's a real push now for Mitchell Moses. And for that alone, I think that it definitely should be Adam Reynolds.
Always welcome on the show, Mitch.
Just to see Benny Elias's head if he doesn't get picked.
Mate, I'm calling for it now. Bring Mitchell Pearce back.
That would be good.
Let him just bum around for 80 minutes and then hold that trophy high. Name him its captain.
Ben Eichen has departed Fox Sports Network to take up a role as football manager at the Brisbane Broncos. Eichen, who loves a challenge as much as Nick Kotrich, begins his new role this week at Red Hill. He'll be replaced on NRL 360 by Full Credit the Boys' very own Yvonne Sampson.
That's a good replacement. Good old Vonnie. We love Vonnie here on Full Credit to the Boys. Benny Eichen has wanted a role at the Broncos for some time. I'm not sure if you remember last year. He was pushing hard for that CEO role. So congratulations, Benny.
Mm.
Careful what you wish for, brother. What a task he's got in front of him. They are dead set diabolical, the Broncos. Get this, former. They have told Pangai Jr. and Matt Lodge that they were free to move immediately out of the club if they could find another club. But this week, old Professor Kevy, that if he wasn't a footy coach, he would have gone into robotics or something. He's a genius.
Or fan gangbangs.
This week, Kevy said no. In the interest of stability at the Broncos, those two players that I have zero faith in will be staying at the club for the rest of the year to try and get the Broncos into the semi-finals. Can someone explain to Kevy how it works? Interesting tactics, Kevy.
Those two blokes, one of those actually bagged him in the media and said he can't wait to get to the Warriors. So, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Speaking of the Warriors, unwanted Sharks half, Sean Johnson.
Sean Johnson.
Will return to the New Zealand Warriors, not the Bulldogs, despite reports from alleged journalist James Hooper declaring him close to a certainty. The Bulldogs missed out on Sean Johnson and could now turn their focus to unwanted Broncos forward, Tevita Pangai Jr.
If you're in the market for a halfback and you can't get Sean Johnson, go after Tevita Pangai Jr. Seems like a genius move. Good on you, Barrett.
The Canterbury could face stiff competition from the West Tigers and Dragons, who are keen to be looking, to offload a high-profile forward in a bid to land the Brisbane star. The Red V have rival clubs contributing towards the salaries of Josh Maguire, Andrew McCulloch and Daniel Alvaro, and would likely ask Brisbane to follow suit. While Pangai would be a welcome addition to their pack, Brett Reid, who broke the story, suggested it would come at a cost.
Well, my mate Hoops, Full Credit to the Boys' very own James Hooper, has told me exclusively that Pangai Jr. will definitely be at the Tigers next year alongside Andrew Fifita and Aaron Woods. But so put it in the bank. 100% that's going to happen.
Write it in pencil, lightly.
Yeah, just pencil it in.
Not HB either, like a 2C or something.
Jeez, that's showing your age. But Sean Johnson has been all over social media announcing with great excitement that he's going back over the ditch to finish his career at the Warriors. Good for him. That seems to be a move that everyone concerned is happy with.
And now for the most Broncos of Broncos stories this week. This comes from Mark Gottlieb. Carmichael Hunt, calf muscle. Ben Teo, calf muscle. Albert Kelly, hamstring. And Brendan Piacura. Before we got to Brendan Piacura, I just thought they must have been naming old blokes just to play footy.
That's what I thought.
We're all injured in a high-intensity training session on Sunday morning. The Broncos were put through the ringer as it comes a month after they sacked fitness boss Andrew Kroll.
It's the they've sacked their fitness guy and this happens. Wow.
Professor Kevy.
Seriously, this move to the Broncos has been at the expense of robots doing my chores, Kevy. You're much better served in robotics than coaching. But yeah, when you rattled off those names, they're all old blokes. They haven't really tackled much, but yeah, let's get them out on the training paddock and smash them. But it's led this week to the 39th pairing of a halves combination up there at the Broncos. So they're on the up. They're going to make the semis. You heard it here first.
Carmichael Hunt, 54. Ben Teo, 52. Albert Kelly, 52. All with leg injuries. Who'd have guessed?
Who would have thought?
Two calf muscles and a hamstring. Two more Bulldogs are under investigation by the NRL's Integrity Unit for breaching the game's biosecurity protocols by visiting a Bondi pub. Forwards Sione Katoa and Corey Waddell have been isolated after emerged the duo joined three teammates at the Royal Hotel last weekend. The Bondi pub was also attended by a person who had tested positive for COVID. Dylan Napar, Brendan Wakam, and Aaron Shoup were the other players involved. It's understood four of the five players have already tested negative for COVID-19, including Napa, Wakeham, and Shoup.
Yeah, good old Shoup. I wrote this jingle for him a few weeks ago, and then I thought we probably will never get to use it. But now that he's fucked up, he's in the news again. So here it is. And in news just coming to hand form, my mate Hoops just texted me. Also today, Josh Dugan has found himself in trouble. Dun, dun, dun. Who would have thunk it? He's also broken COVID restrictions. He went out for dinner with a group of mates for a snitty and some vodka cruisers and sit on the roof and take photos. So how did he get found out? Breaching the protocols?
Oh, some pesky journo hiding in the trees, Adam Elliott style.
No, I don't think so. He just posted a photo on Instagram.
Yeah, it's rocket scientist.
Criminal mastermind.
And can you just show me up? Show me up to the screen. Show me that text message you got from James Hooper.
Yeah. See?
Why have you got James Hooper under staff writers? What's that?
He goes by both.
with the series wrapped up by the Blues, Origin 3 on July 14 was always going to be a banker for New South Wales fans and the NRL.
You've really pulled the curtain down here. We're trying to pretend we're in the same studio, but you've given it away.
Yet it's now highly unlikely the match will be played in Sydney. In an interview with AAP, the ARLC chair, Ned Philandis, confirmed the match was unlikely to go ahead in Sydney. It's just after the lockdown, Philandis told AAP. Basically, if you look at previous lockdowns, they take a while to go back to normal. It takes a few weeks to reduce the restrictions. If you look at Melbourne, their lockdowns finished 2 weeks ago. They've only just allowed 50% of their crowds back. There's always a time lag from the end of the lockdown to when they start reducing the restrictions.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there, former. This game should be played in Canberra. No one's got the Chinese virus down there. Take it down to Canberra. So all people from regional New South Wales can go. Places like Cooma, we're massive in Cooma, former. Mm. Take it to Canberra, I say. And while we're at it, let's take these showcase games everywhere, every year. I'm all for it. But also in the NRL this week, there was going to be a couple of blockbuster games. Tigers versus South Sydney was a sellout at Leichhardt to see Benji return to the ground for the fifth time. Every time he leaves us, he comes back and we have another fucking farewell, but whatever. Sadly, I'm going to miss this one. And the Panthers versus Eels game was also a sellout. All the tickets have been refunded. And now they're going to give tickets.
Like a full credit of the boys' live show.
Yeah, if you need a hand refunding those tickets, I know how to do it. But both games are going to cost the home teams a heap of coin. But Nettie, he's saving it up for an extra Brisbane team because footy's going so well up there in Brisbane.
To celebrate the 100th year in rugby league, the St George Dragons have opened their very own museum, the Red V Museum. Located within the St. George Dragons' traditional home, St. George Leagues Club, the museum will be officially opened on Friday, June 25 at 3 p.m. and will be available for events and special occasions. The Spirit of the Red V Museum showcases over 150 pieces of memorabilia from a fully catalogued collection of nearly 1,000 pieces, much of which have never been seen before. There will be various rooms within the museum celebrating famous players like Herb Dilbert, Reg Gasnier, Harry Bath and Johnny Raper. In fact, there's a whole wing of the museum to celebrate the Raper name in the history of the Dragons.
There's going to be a lot of Masonic aprons hanging up there and all sorts of things. There's another phrase you don't want to hear before sexy times, former. Let's go to the Dragons Museum. What else is boring? Nah, I'm just kidding. It looks great. There should be more of this, having the history of the game celebrated. The museum's only been open 4 days and apparently Chinners has been 26 times. She loves it.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory.
It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL and the Port Adelaide Coshies beat the Battlers team from Sydney, the Swans, by one straight kick and four to the side. Meanwhile, the Hawthorn Kennets beat the AFL Cash Cows, the GWS Giants, by three straight kicks and no misses.
Yeah, Bobby Franklin threatened to upend the contest on Saturday evening with a handful of freakish moments late in the piece against Port. His tackle on the Coshies defender, Tom Jonas, one of the Jonas brothers, I'm assuming, was outstanding former. I've watched it over and over again. It led to a free kick and a goal to Bobby Franklin, who was in sparkling form. But it wasn't enough as the Swannies went down to the Coshies and the Caps lock Giants. They also lost.
Rugby. The Rugby Australia chairman, Hamish McLennan, there's never been a more rugby name in the world than Hamish McLennan.
I'm hearing you.
Has confirmed with foxsports.com.au that the opening test between the Wallabies and the French team will be moved away from the Sydney Cricket Ground, where there's not a good seat in the house. We are looking at backup plans, probably Brisbane or Newcastle. No one is sure what Newcastle has done to deserve having this muck up in their areas, but here we are. Rugby Australia is already engaged in meetings to work out a solution for the test, which was shaping to be a sellout, given that Rugby Australia were only ever releasing 9 tickets to the game.
Well, much like the NRL has moved their showpiece game, the State of Origin, up to Townsville, and they're looking, they've taken my call and they've already planned to put it at Canberra next time. There's been a real push to have this rugby game played at Gannon's Park at Lugano between the under 8s and under 10s soccer games between Forest Rangers and Riverwood. Would be
go
a
the
great,
woods. Go the woods.
Nah, I'm a Forest Rangers man. Spent many a year there carving it up.
On the wing.
It would be a great spectacle. All the people of Lugano and Riverwood would turn out. Do it, Hamish McLennan. What a rugby sounding name. He's got patches on his elbows for sure.
Push bikes. I don't know if you've seen this. The roadside,
this is the best.
Roadside fan who caused a giant crash at the Tour de France is to be sued by the event's organisers. The woman concerned held up a banner slightly into the road and was looking straight at the television motorbike cameras with her back turned on the speeding peloton. The banner, written in French, said, "I love full credit to the boys." German writer Tony Martin, I loved him in The Late Show, Martin Malloy, one of the greats. German writer Tony Martin brushed past her and was knocked off balance racing near the head of the peloton.
Yeah, Mick Malloy crashed straight up the arse of him.
He was in a burger truck at the time. Near the head of the peloton. When he fell, it caused a horrifying domino effect, ending in a tangle of bikes and bodies. DSM's German rider, Jascha Schitteren, was the only one who had time to pull out at that moment, but several people were hurt, including
Barnaby,
spectators.
Take note, Barnaby.
Pull out, son. We are suing this woman who behaved so badly, tour director Pierre-Yves Thollot told AFP. We are doing this so the tiny minority of people who don't do this don't spoil the show for everyone. Now, riders injured in stage one of the 2021 Tour de France, I'll just run through them quickly. Jascha Schitteren, Ignatius Kononlavas, Cyril Lemoyne, Mark Sola, Arion Pare Piente.
I'm pretty sure it's not Ariola Pare Piente, but whatever.
Dennis O'Connor, Dorian Godon, Benoit Cousin Froy, Nance Peters.
There's like 40 people on the list. I'm not sitting here all this time while you butcher all these names.
Chris Froome, Rito Hollenstein, my favourite writer.
Yeah, look, that's enough.
Whatever.
They are saying that this chick holding up the I love full credit to the boys sign could face up to a year in jail. It's outrageous. She actually made this race better, but the cyclists are filthy at her. But they are an angry mob cyclist, probably because of all the roids they munch on.
Well, you know, holding up that full credit of the boys sign, but then facing a year's jail. By the time she gets out, she'll just be out in time for the next full credit of the boys live show that we're traveling. So that's good news.
I've refunded a ticket for last week.
Golf. Golfer John Rahm was forced to quit the Memorial Tournament a few weeks ago when he led by 6 shots after testing positive to COVID-19. Shattered, he isolated, recovered, and then last week he became the first Spaniard to win the US Open. This, he said, is the power of positive thinking. We're not sure whether he's referring to his win or his COVID test, Sid.
Look, good for him. He was cruising, leading by 6 shots, sneezing on everyone. And unfortunately, they came over and said, mate, you're going to have to withdraw from the Memorial Tournament. But now he's a US Open winner and is Chinese virus-free. A big week for the great man. Good on you.
Basketball. James Mathey from news.com.au writes that LeBron James has always been a big Ben Simmons fan, saying last year, the sky's the limit for the Aussie superstar. Unfortunately, the sky's looks to have fallen down on Ben Simmons, at least in Philadelphia, as speculation rages about his future after the 76ers' latest playoff implosion. 24-year-old has been the headlines as his personal on-court troubles became the overriding narrative behind Philly's failures. He looked like a broken man when he refused to go up for a wide-open dunk in the final quarter of Game 7, instead dishing off to a teammate under pressure because he was so low in confidence. Shaquille O'Neal turned things up to 11 by declaring on TV after the game that he would have knocked Simmons out if they had been sharing a locker room, while Lakers legend Magic Johnson, sportscaster Stephen A. Smith, and former NFL star turned media personality Shannon Sharp have been among those saying Simmons and Philly are no longer the perfect match. There's every chance Simmons could be put on a trade table if the Sixers no longer have faith in him. An ESPN report during the week suggested up to a dozen rival teams would be interested in poaching the 24-year-old if he becomes available. Simmons' agent, Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul, very rich, met with 76ers, 5% of $176 million, if you don't mind, met with 76ers officials to discuss what options were available. ESPN reporter Paul talked with Philadelphia general manager Elton Brand and head of basketball operations Daryl Morey about the future, but no trade request is made, and the Sixers allegedly said they were committed to keeping Simmons on their books. Complicating matters for Philly is Simmons still has 4 years and $194 million to run on a maximum contract, which doesn't expire until 2025. It was never a plan to get rid of him this soon.
Wow, 4 years and $200 million left on his contract. Who knew that Richard Simmons was worth so much? I don't really follow the basketball. This is all news to me. I sat here fascinated listening to that.
And he's just said that he's not going to play for Australia in the Olympics. So we're a medal hope, I reckon, the way he's been travelling lately.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. At first I was angry, but nah, who cares?
Good call, bro. Tennis. Nick Kyrgios says he wants to be a better tennis player and a better person at Wimbledon, as he's revealed he'll be taking the court in the mixed doubles with 41-year-old Venus Williams.
Yeah, mad.
Kyrgios is confident of what the pair can achieve, declaring him the mixed doubles pairing of the tournament at a pre-tournament press conference. In the men's singles, the former top 15 player, Kyrgios, is now down to number 61 in the world. He's not played since the Australian Open in February, where he let slip a 2-set lead to lose to US Open champion Dominic Thiem in the third round.
What a pairing that would be, former. Get Bluebet on the line. I'm putting a dead set mozza on the pair of them, Venus Williams and the great man, Nick Kyrgios. Surely they're special.
The good Williams, I think you'll find she's known as.
Yeah, exactly.
Tennis. Now, just Take a sit back, mate. Enjoy mate, yourself.
There's nothing more that I like than a tennis story on this podcast, except perhaps that tennis story being followed by a very long other tennis story.
The world's most famous tennis tournament starts on Monday, the Wimbledon Classic, and over the years, the championships have featured some unusual stars. Now, in a fascinating curtain raiser, I'm about to serve up to you the stories of some of the Wimbledon's wackiest competitors, Sid.
Excellent. I'll go have a nap.
Multi-talented Charlotte Dodd won Wimbledon five times, notching up her first victory at the age of 15 in 1887.
Yeah, wow.
She's still the youngest ever winner. After quitting tennis, she became a top figure skater, a golfer, a hockey player, while also winning silver medal in archery in the 1908 London Olympics.
And was good at robotics, apparently.
In 1897, Irishman Vere Thomas St. Ledger Gould, I think he plays for Penrith, was beaten in the final of the men's singles by British vicar John Thornycroft Hartley. 10 years later, debt ribbon Gould and wife Marie were convicted of murdering widow Emma Levin in Monte Carlo.
Didn't that take a turn that I wasn't expecting?
They were caught when her body was found in a trunk they'd left in a station. Sentenced to life, he committed suicide in 1909.
Fascinating.
American Dick Williams survived the sinking of the Titanic in 1912, aged 21, by jumping off the ship at the last minute. He served in World War I and launched a successful tennis career which saw him scoop the men's doubles titles at Wimbledon in 1920.
These are amazing stories. Now, when people die, it's like, yeah, she had an OnlyFans account and 330 Instagram followers. She'll be sadly missed. This guy survived the Titanic and won Wimbledon. What a legend.
She died of COVID but hated vaccines. Austrian Hans Rettel lost his left arm at the Battle of Stalingrad during World War II, but it didn't stop him competing.
Shut up. Now you're making shit up.
At the Wimbledon Championships from 47 to 56.
No way.
Because of his missing limb, officials allowed him to serve by flipping the ball into the air with his racket.
Bullshit. You're just making stuff up now.
Ah, one of the greats, old Hans Rettel. How about this one? Best known for his stammer.
Well, no one's ever seen what I mean. From the age of 13, we've all been caught in a mouth trap. So join with us in the stir rap.
One of the absolute great songs.
Oh, I sat here all afternoon listening to it on high rotation.
Has it aged well?
It's so good.
Has it aged well? No.
No.
Oh, let's do that again. Best known for his stammer.
Well, no one's ever seen what I mean. From the age of 13, we've all been caught in a mousetrap.
Mousetrap.
So join with us in the stir rap.
The future King George VI was a talented tennis player in his youth, winning the RAF championships with wing commander Louis Grigg, Tony's dad. The pair played in the 1926...
Of course he was always going to win. That was back when they'd behead people.
The pair played in the 1926 men's doubles at Wimbledon, going out in the first round.
Oh.
Bernard Tomic style. Anyway, this one. In 1939, US player Alice Marble agreed to spy for the Allies by cozying up to a Swiss banker who was an ex-lover.
Yeah,
she ended up being shot in the back by a Nazi agent... But recovered.
Oh, shut up. Good on her.
Every time I read one of these, I think, fuck, my life's been ordinary so far.
I know, right?
I've done nothing.
I was going to be an astronaut.
Got the hex debt to prove it. There's been plenty of controversial outfits at Wimbledon over the years, but few more bizarre than when US star Anne White wore a figure-hugging white bodysuit complete with leg warmers to play at Wimbledon in 1985. I actually remember this, Sid.
Yeah, I don't officials, remember this at all.
Officials quickly banned it. I tell you what, it was in my wank bank for a while. Banned it for being too sexy.
Wow. And while you talk about the next one, I'm going to Google that.
Well, the next one I actually remember too. Former super brat John McEnroe, who famously screamed, "You cannot be serious," to a Wimbledon umpire, In 1995, fellow shouty American Jeff Tarango walked off court accusing the umpire of being corrupt while also telling the crowd to shut up. And his wife later slapped the umpire.
Yeah, good.
And how's this one? The last one. Indian tennis star Vijay Amritraj was a two-time quarterfinalist in the Wimbledon's men's singles. I do not remember this dude. He went on to carve out a film career, starring in the 1983 James Bond film Octopussy. He played an MI6 agent, even beating off villains with a tennis racket before meeting a grisly end.
I actually remember the guy hitting people with a tennis racket.
Well, that's him.
But speaking of letting you get hit by a tennis racket,
Jesus, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you it wasn't if he was fighting off the tennis racket. It was Bernard Tomic. There's no way he'd hit you with a tennis racket.
What about stupid sexy Anne White in her outfit? I just Googled that. She can hit me with a tennis racket anytime she wants.
I've been a bad boy.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, it's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab a Mirror, Sid, the number one podcasting segment in all of iTunes and some of Spotify. Don't forget, you can reply to my initial tweet at around 7:30 on a Tuesday. Use the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. The second tweet is around 4 o'clock. Same thing, use the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. It's with thanks from our friends from NDF Electrical.
And I'm not sure if you've noticed, former, a lot of radio stations are copying this segment.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's outrageous.
Rev It Up. There's, what's the other one that they do on Triple M?
Flog of the Week. Someone does that.
Yeah, there's one on Triple M too. Oh, they don't give up. But they can.
I don't know where we pinched it from though, so it doesn't really matter.
They can copy this one if they want.
Okay, hit me.
Grab a mirror, young love.
Okay.
Anyone younger than 30 who's convinced they've found a, and I say those with air quotes, a life partner, can eat a giant bag of salty dicks. If you're a creditor and you see any couple under the age of 30 with a public display of erection, you have my permission to go up and boldly declare out loud to everyone else who can hear, this will not last.
Oh, I love saying that. That won't last.
Firstly, Sid, my first example of this is Turbo Tom Trbojevic.
Ooh, okay.
Mate, has there ever been a bloke in the kind of rare form that Tommy finds himself right now? And yet, today, we can lick that stamp and post it as he's made it Insta-official. That's what the kids are saying these days, Sid.
Yeah, that's what I say.
He is now in a relationship with 22-year-old Christy, two Y's, Wilkinson.
Oh, we're going to have a dynasty. It's over.
It came with the caption, duo. Look, Sid, sure. Sure.
I'm listening.
Sure. She's an Instagram model, which means Tommy will no longer need professional medical advice or the help of science. But getting with this broad now ranks as the second worst decision he's made in 2021. Obviously racing some loose piss wreck on the Corso still ranks as number one. But can someone please, Tom, to listen to some advice from his old uncle former, Sid? Tom, son, it's just me and you now. Listen, you're in rare air. You're scoring tries at will and you're making grown men look like school kids as you run over the top of them to score. There has never, ever been a better time to be single. You are dead set pissing rainbows and farting glitter. Do not waste it on one bird. Sure, she's a fucking 11, I know that. But Jesus Christ, son. And mate, sure, you haven't exactly been bashed with the Brad Pitt stick, if you know what I'm saying. But but just keep standing next to that brother of yours and winning games for Manly and New South Wales, and you'll be knee-deep in pussy for the next 10 years. So give this glamour your regards. Tell her you'll see her in 10 years and get back on the horse, if you know what I mean, Sid.
I do know what you mean. Hopefully, if it does work out for them, which it won't last. Hopefully the kids look like her, not him.
Hopefully he gets a public display of erection, because apparently it's impressive. But my second grabber mirror, Sid, who fall
You're doubling down.
Who fall under the same young love tag is this young couple from Italy. I read about them this week, Mario Speedwagon and his girlfriend Sophia Ottoman. In an attempt to rescue their dying relationship, they're under 32, by the way, they decided it'd be a good idea to handcuff themselves together for 109 days.
Oh, no.
Now, when I was at school, Sid, 109 days was more than 3 months. And by my estimations, that means Sophia was witness to 122 Edgar Brits by Mario, 936 ball bag scratches, 1,036 Russian tanks, and 8 vomits. And bugger me dead, Sid, after 109 days, after they undid the cuffs, guess what they did? Went their separate ways.
Of course they did. That was never going to end well.
Who would have seen that coming? I mean, sure.
Much like Turbo and his missus. It's not going to end well.
Now, so once again, I tell you, creditors, if you see a young couple holding hands, tonguing each other's tonsils, or casually putting his pointer in her pee hole, you have my permission to yell out at the top of the voice, "It will not last." And tell them to grab a mirror from Uncle Former.
Remember that time we met a creditor at the footy and he's walked up to you? He's like, "You're a former legend." And I was like, "Hey, what are you talking about, mate?" He's like, "Hey, I know that voice. You're Sid Punts." We're like, "Ah, the gig's up here." So after a while, we called him up to have a beer. He brought his missus. He's like, "Yeah, this is me missus. Remember when I called in for Dr. Former segment and you told me to drop her?"
I stood by that.
Yeah. We told him it wasn't going to last.
10.
At V underscore Vandalay, Art Vandalay. Hashtag grab a mirror, Salma Hayek, for selfishly complaining that, and I put it in quotes, "My breasts won't stop growing and it's a problem."
Did you see these photos?
Mm-hmm.
So good.
A problem for who exactly? Certainly not any of your legion of film followers around the world. Hashtag first world problems. Hashtag just let them be. At NDF Electrical, at Full Crew the Boys podcast, at former underscore legend.
The poor lady's got some back problems. Am I right? Am I right, girls? Am I right? All five of you that listen?
9.
At Ben Pugsley. Grab a mirror, Delta, the hot but annoying singer, the shit-ass US airline, the crap Delta Force movie, and especially the COVID variant that shut down the live show. Hashtag fuck you, Delta. Hashtag fuck all y'all.
The only good Delta is Delta Goodra, man.
8.
Mate, if this COVID strain's the Delta strain, how bad's the Paulini strain going to be? You know one thing, it won't be able to drive. At Mace 182. Hashtag grab a mirror, the arborist who punched a hole in my fence yesterday with his stump grinder after barking at me for hitting one of his cones set up like a fucking driving test around my car. Yeah, sure, mate, you'll be back to fix it. Hashtag haven't paid you yet. Hashtag different breed. Hashtag carny of the trees.
Yeah, that's the way. Punch on with him.
7.
If I didn't do this podcast, I was thinking of being an arborist.
Were you?
Yeah.
At all day, sir. Hashtag grab a mirror, Ben Robert Smith. Everyone knows the best way to destroy a hard drive is by downloading a dodgy porn torrent. Hashtag petrol ain't cheap with a name like that. Hashtag you'll get a start at the Roosters.
I'm not saying anything bad about that guy. He'll kill you in a heartbeat. Yeah, I'm petrified. He's a giant.
6.
At mgraz2005. Grab a mirror, all the journos saying big wins and domination for New South Wales will kill Origin. Go fuck yourselves. We've suffered long enough and now it's our turn. And as an added bonus, how fun is it watching Queenslanders turn on themselves? Hashtag payback as a bitch. Hashtag two-headed freaks. Hashtag grubs.
Could not have said it better myself. Actually, I did say it better myself earlier.
Five.
Are we up to five? I'm getting lost here without you.
Another Delta song. At Porch 7.
Name me two Paulini songs. Go.
Gangnam Style and Baby Shark.
You're no good at this. You don't know any Creedence songs. You're apeless.
At Porch 7. Grab a mirror me for downloading the at @FCTTB_podcast app a couple of years ago.
What's wrong with that?
At @Form_legend, at Sid Punt, you jerks. You owe me $1.95. Hashtag no updates. Hashtag porn star or athlete.
Yeah. Adriana Chechik. That's how you knew about her. Yeah, there's an update coming soon. And a cure for COVID.
Four.
At @Wizard_Poon. Grab a mirror to the lady holding the sign at La Tour, Tour de France, put a minute. You magnificent bastard for taking down all those road pests called cyclists in one go. The only lycra I want to see on TV is on Aerobics Oz Style, my morning workout. Hashtag ball release. Hashtag cardboard is more teen for road pests.
He even put a follow-up. I saw that one today. He put a follow-up of a picture of all the good sorts from Aerobics Oz Style. I was going to do a whole thing about them at the live show.
Oh,
oh well.
It won't age.
Can I have a go now?
I mean, it's what I've been waiting for.
All right. Grab a mirror, these blokes, former. Now, police haven't released their names, but let's call them Henry Fitzpatrick and Patrick Fitzhenry, just for argument's sake. Now, when everyone is staying home and doing the right thing during this COVID lockdown, the Chinese virus is everywhere, these two blokes thought, nah, the rules don't apply to me. And they were caught out and about during lockdown, and it made for dead set the best headline you're likely to read in a while. The headline reads, nude sunbathers startled by deer lost in the bush fined for breaking Sydney lockdown. Now, after this happened, the police commissioner had to report the details in a press conference and try and keep a straight face. He had this to say.
I can just say that the police operation over the course of the last 24 hours continues to ramp up statewide. We issued some 44 tickets to individuals, most of those for people to failing of wearing a mask. Unbelievably, we saw two men sunbaking naked on a beach on the south coast. They were startled by a deer, ran into the National Forest, National Park, and got lost. Not only did they require assistance from SES and police to rescue them, they also both received a ticket for $1,000.
Now, after being naked, startled by a deer, I'm doing those air quote things, I think there's more to this story, and then losing their way in the bush, when rescuers finally found the pair after hours, there seemed to be another medical emergency occurring, as one bloke was seen sucking the poison out of a snake bite. The other one seemed to have sustained in his groin region in all these misadventures that they had. So it's only a short one this week, but grab a mirror, fellas. You got to give them points for coming up with that reason for being naked in the bush. No one believes you, but well done, lads. What a great headline.
And when the wildlife rangers caught up with the deer, all they said it was very nervous.
Three.
At @TheReal_IanLacy. Grab a mirror and suck a fart out of my ass.
Whoa.
People who submit those letters to the editor and complain about things about as useful as Anne Frank's drum kit.
That's fantastic.
Who Who cares if someone put their bins too close to the curb? Worry about yourself or just complain on Twitter like the rest of us.
That was so good. What was that, number three? What's the top two this week?
Two.
At Knocked Up Misses. Hashtag grab a mirror. New South Wales Blues new medical staff members. Now, did you see that wadding and bandage on Teddy Tedesco's?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So Knocked Up Misses writes, grab a mirror, New South Wales Blues new medical staff members, Chappelle and Cassie, for their strapping up job on James Tedesco's abdomen. The bloke dead set looked like a drug mule. As a Queensland supporter, I was hoping the AFP would show up at halftime and arrest him.
It looked a bit ordinary. It looked like a colostomy bag. But he still got a man of the match performance.
One.
Good grab of mirrors thus far, former. What got number one this week?
At R Meerkats. A-R-E Meerkats. Grab a mirror. Toilet roll holders that are located behind you when you sit down. I'm not a Cirque du Soleil performer. At Cirque, put them in it. I just want my bog roll within arm's reach. Hashtag, I'm not fucking Gumby.
That's exactly what this segment is for, and all the other radio segments out there just like it.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens Night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to mareinc.com.au.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yes, it's round 16 of the NRL, and of course every week we preview the round on Full Credit of the Boys. We of course get one of our favourites here, Duncan McRae from bluebet.com.au. How are you, champion?
Former, very well, very hope all the listeners are good. Yeah, well, New South Wales, a demolition, wasn't it, former? Where does Queensland go from here? Not too often we've said that in the last 15 years.
Water polo. Mate, you're calling us from a hot spot. Obviously, you were patient zero. Has that affected business?
Yeah. Everything's good, mate. Everything's good. Just locked in the bedroom for me, locked at home with the kids.
I'll tell you what, I like what you've done with the place since I was last there.
It's all good, brother. It's all good. Little baby, rain capital of Australia, mate. So it's all good out here.
Mate, Maroon. You're down there with Maroon. I see you down at Little Kongwong.
Well, it wasn't Maroon and I down at the South Coast wrestling the deer, mate. I can confirm that.
Well, mate, we head to the great Fuck or Fight Stadium for the first game of the weekend. It's the Sydney Roosters up against the Melbourne Storm. The Roosters are $3.30, the Storm are $1.33. The handicap's 11.5. What are you thinking?
Former, what do you think here? The Storm have done so much travelling, been rushed out of the sunny coast, down to Melbourne, then they're going to go back to Sydney, to Newcastle. But nothing stops them. They're just too good. They're too clinical and they're too professional, and their coach doesn't let them get off balance. The Roosters, obviously a good team and they compete every week. So I'm tipping this to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, and who are you backing?
I am obviously tipping the Storm, and I think the Roosters will be competitive for about 50 minutes, but then I think the Cheese and all the big names will take over in the back end of that game.
I think it's a lot closer than what the odds suggest, Dunks. To be honest, $3.30 seems pretty generous. If you wanted a bet on the Roosters, that seems generous odds. And even if you wanted the handicap at 11.5,
I think it might be a lot closer than 11.5, but I will take the Storm. But I'm a bit like you, mate. I think it'll be low scoring. I think it'll be pretty close.
Totally agree.
We go to the next game on, I think it's Friday, the first game of Friday, and it's the New Zealand Warriors up against the St. George Illawarra Dragons. It's up there at Single Mother Showground. It's $1.70, the Warriors. It's $2.15, the Dragons. The handicap's at 3.5, $1.95. Take your pick. Dunks, what are we thinking here?
I don't know what to think here. I'd rather be involved with the single mothers, to be honest with you, in the crowd. Absolutely. Now, every time I tip against the Dragons, they win. Every time I tip them, they lose. So it's really my form on the Dragons is totally off kilter. So saying all that, I'm going to tip the Warriors up there at their home base.
Yeah. And
with no confidence.
With no confidence, either of these teams. There's an old rule in rugby league betting. It's don't bet any game that features the Warriors or the Dragons. And yet, here we are. Don't forget, for all the females up there on Central Coast, if you don't have a prem, you get in for free at Single Mother Stadium on Friday night. I will be back in the Warriors, but with no confidence whatsoever. This could actually be a draw. Well, we go to the next game, and this could have been anything. And now, well, who knows? It's the Penrith Panthers up against the Parramatta Eels. It's $1.53, the Panthers, $2.50, the Eels, but I think betting might have been suspended on this game. The handicap's at 5.5. Dunks, no Nathan Cleary, no Panthers?
Former, you've got to say they're going to struggle. You've seen when, who do you think they'll start, Tyrone May or Burton in the halves? What's your thoughts?
I think they've lost a bit of faith with Tyrone May, to be honest, mate. I'd have Burton. He looked like the more creative of the two the last time they were paired together. Of course, it's at their home ground, a full credit, the boys, brought to you by Bluebet Stadium. Yeah, what do you reckon, mate?
Well, boys, I'm going to tip the Panthers in a close one. I think it's going to be very, very close without Cleary. I know he meshes everything in together with Isaiah Yeo, with Luai, with To'o, the kicking game. Mm-hmm. It's obviously, I think it's going to be a very, very close game. I'm going to tip the Panthers, but with no confidence. I really don't know how they're going to go without Nathan.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same, mate. I think, you know what, I'm going to back the Eels here. I think Mitchell Moses will be thinking he's on trial for Origin. If he does get picked, Uncle Benny will be harder than a cat's head. I'll have the Eels, but again, with no real confidence. It'll be a very interesting watch this, but we go to Saturday, and this is the game we've all been waiting for. It's the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs up against the Manly Warringah Seagulls. $5.50 for the Bulldogs. $1.12, the Manly Seagulls. It's over there at Wankbest. It's $1.95. Take your pick if you want 20.5 for the Bulldogs. Dunks,
do they have 17 players out of lockdown play? That's the question.
Great news. Kyle Flanagan might be back, I believe. So that's good news.
Stop it. Well, you've just made my tip 30-plus just a lot easier. Thank you, former. Yeah, I've got to tip the Seagulls. This Turbo, obviously debatable whether he'll play. I think he's got a small ankle injury out of Origin, so that probably make a difference. If I was having a bet on this game, I'd be waiting up to kick off to see what both teams run out with.
You couldn't back the Bulldogs with someone else's money. Fair dinkum. We go to the next game, and it's the Raiders taking on the Gold Coast Titans. They'll love it down there at Geelong Cold Stadium at Canberra. A lovely 5:30, 6:30, 7:30 a.m. kickoff. PM kickoff. $1.40 the Raiders, $2.95 the Titans at Bluebet. Handicaps at 7.5. Very generous. What are you thinking, mate?
Yeah, I'm thinking Raiders at home for me. You laid out all the reasons there. The Gold Coast, what's doing there? Can anyone find a way for David Fifita not just to be handed the ball and say, run? Can they find him a way to hit a hole and give him some early ball? He's just absolutely struggling. Gold Coast are struggling. I know Raiders are as well, but it is freezing at the moment, so I'm tipping the Raiders.
Yeah, I'll back the Raiders too, mate. I think that change of climate might be way too much for them. The final game on Saturday sees the Newcastle Knights taking on the North Queensland Cowboys. 4.5 handicap is $1.85. The Knights are paying $1.55 if you want them outright. Cowboys are $2.45 with Bluebet. It's up there at Fuck or Fight Stadium. Dunks, could you back the Cowboys down there?
Oh, the Cowboys, no. I think they're going to struggle on the back end of the year, especially travelling all the way back to Newcastle. Mitchell Pearce will obviously play. Will Ponga play? That is the big question mark. If he does, Newcastle are morals. If he doesn't, I think they can fall over the line.
Yeah, I'll be backing the Knights, but Jesus, I'm not sold on them at all in the last few weeks. Like you said, Pierce is back. Is Ponga back, did we say? That he was named.
Well, I think, well, there's a rumour he may be to get into Origin 3, but no confirmation there at all.
Yeah, I'll be backing the Knights, but with no confidence. Like I said, the first game on Sunday afternoon sees the Broncos at home up against the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. It's up there at Brad Fittler Oval. It's $2.95, the Broncos. It's $1.40, the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. 7.5 is the handicap, $1.90. Take your pick with bluebet.com.au. Mate, these are two teams that were going bad, but all of a sudden the Sharkies are the form team.
They are. Well, they've really settled on their halves combination former, haven't they? They've settled with Moylan and Johnson, and they've turned it around.
Mm.
Will Kennedy at the back's been good. The Broncos, Kevy, he didn't want Tangai Jr. He didn't want Lodge. Now they're back in the camp. What is going on north of the border, former? No one knows what's doing. So I'm going to blatantly tip the Sharks with absolutely, again, no confidence.
You wouldn't blame Lodge for picking up the wrong jersey this weekend. Fair dinkum, he's not sure whether he's Arthur or Martha at the moment up there at Brisbane. Yeah, I'll be back in the Sharks, but again, this could be one that the Broncos might sneak away with, to be honest.
Yeah, totally agree. The final game,
it's at the eighth wonder of the world, but it'll be very empty. It's the West Tigers paying $7, if you don't mind, up against the Benji-led South Sydney Rabbitohs, I should say, $1.10. Handicap's 9.5. Have they lost their minds at Bluebet? It's 9.5, $1.95, take your pick. Dunks, I know that you are itching to back the Tigers in this one, you were saying.
Former, I know you think I'm going to be on the gear here. I'm not sure if Latrell's going to play. I think the 19.5 is very, very doable for the Tigers. I really do. You go back to earlier in the year, the Tigers should have beat the Rabbitohs. They should have won that game. They're coming off probably the worst performance you as a supporter has ever seen of your team. I'm going to tip them at 19.5 start. I think the Bunnies can win the game, but I think 19.5, I think they'll be very competitive.
Yeah, I'll take, like I said, it's at home. Geez, it'd be nice if it was a full crowd. A bit different with no one there. A few blokes will be on a cherry picker up the back of the oval there. I'll take the Rabbitohs, a bit like you, mate. Off the start, I wouldn't mind have a little bit of a nibble at the Tigers. Now, Origin 3, Dunks, where are we playing it?
Well, it's got to be Newcastle, hasn't it, great man? It has to be. The Savages up there would just absolutely love it. Heartland of rugby league. They might even, you know, pull out the old Hunter Mariners jersey. I don't know, but I think Newcastle deserve it. Thoughts?
What about this idea? Put them all in quarantine, play it in New Zealand. Full crowd. You're welcome. Take the money from the New Zealand government. You probably get $8 million.
What about we take it back where it used to be, LA? Remember we played the game in LA where Sirlo jumped through the thing? Be a full crowd there at the Coliseum.
All right, mate. We'll talk to you next week when we'll be back to normal. But thanks for your tips. Thanks for showing us around your bedroom on Skype. That's very well. I like what you've done there. The mirrors on the roof are a good touch. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul, mate. See you, brother.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
And because that was recorded under COVID restrictions, I'm back in the studio. Here's my tips for those playing at home. Storm to beat the Roosters, Warriors to smash the Dragons, the Panthers, even without their halfback, to beat the Eels, Manly, too good for the Dogs, Raiders over the Titans, Knights over the Cows, Broncos and Sharks, Sharkies to get up there, and the Bunnies to absolutely lap the Tigers. And it's this time every week we get a guest tipster from our Patreon subscribers. This week, we've got the wild and crazy guy, Steve Martin, all the way from the United Kingdom.
Hello, Australia. Hello, world. This is Steve Martin, doing it tough on Struggle Street in London's inner southwest. Going into bat for the patrons, Boris permitting. We've got some heavyweight battles, especially early on, with a shabby but well-matched undercard. We start with Melbourne visiting the Roosters. Though the Roosters' second string have shown exceptional spirit this season, they haven't beaten any of their rivals for the title, and they won't beat the Storm. Friday's early game has the unpredictable Warriors against the unreliable Dragons. I'm going for the Warriors, despite their recent form, well, because they got some heart, and the Dragons haven't. Friday's late game would certainly have drawn a full house to Full Credit to the Boys Stadium. but will be a blockbuster nonetheless. The Eels are all hammer and no screwdriver, as my dad would have said. The Panthers will have to survive a battering, but they'll finish up on top. Less drama in prospect for the first game on Saturday. Home advantage won't help the Dogs against Manly, who should win easily. Next a game I once thought might have been a title eliminator, but it's between 10th and 13th place. I marginally prefer Ricky's rancid Raiders over the truly terrible Titans, but I don't see either of them making the eight. Even harder to call is the Knights and the Cowboys, two more serial underperformers. The Cows beat the Knights earlier this year, but they've only won away once this season. I'm much too tactful to say where. And I'm taking the Knights to emerge from the corridor of uncertainty with the win. The best thing to be said for Sunday's early game is that it kicks off at 5 a.m. London time, so there's no danger of me seeing any of it. I've been sliding down the ladder for refusing to tip the Sharks recently, but every man has his breaking point. More misery is in prospect in Brisbane and a deepening in the Queensland equine obesity crisis. And finally, ensuring I won't be asked back, the Rabbits will win at Leichhardt. Enjoy the weekend as much as you can, snack responsibly, and come on, you arse!
You sound like you're from London!
Yeah, thanks very much to Boris Johnson for giving us those tips. Fantastic stuff. Sidwell, let's do this.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Boys sack mail and feedback time. Let's have a look at the NRL tipping comp. It's on the NRL site. Have a look for the tipping comp under full credit to the boys. It's tipping comp number 70918 for those playing at home. Paul Croucher is back in front.
On your Crouchy.
He is on 92. He is one ahead of Lucas Taylor, James Noobs, the Greaser. Noobs. Greaser and Geraldo. And Brett Cruikshank are all on 90, as is Black Jesus.
Black Jesus. Well done, Blackie.
And we'll just scroll down and, well, bugger me, dude, who's on 18th? But your old mate, Uncle Former, he's on equal 15th.
Well, that's, you're kind news. Of good at something, I guess.
87. I'm five off the lead still. Can't crack it. So... obviously, I'll get two or three full books and away I'll go. And,
I think Lynn
that'll be it.
I think Lynn G got a full book last week.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah, I haven't heard it. She put out 45 tweets about it. Yeah, messaged me. Phone's been running off the hook. No one cares, mate. I'm about 114th. No one cares about the tipping comp. I don't even know why we mention it at the end of the show. Who cares?
The tweets and the messages are cop. The sign writer was a bit too much.
She was out the front of my house.
The banner.
On your Linny.
Yeah. And, well, I guess best way to end this show is with a little bit of trivia.
Yeah, I've got nothing to flog, so let's do this.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
I like to double up these days, put a bit of a quinella in two facts. So this first one.
It's your show.
According to a study conducted by British sex toy brand Love Honey, nearly half of all women fantasize about other men while in bed. The survey showed 46% of women fantasize about another person during sex with their partner, compared to 42% of men, because men are good people.
Yeah.
However, the study surveyed 1,300 straight women, so this confession doesn't apply to everyone who identifies as a woman. I don't know what that bit means.
Me neither. It's a crazy world.
But here's some good news for you, Sid.
Okay.
Researchers in Turkey, where I get a lot of my sex facts, did a year-long study on the relationship between body mass index and male sexual performance.
Yeah, here we go.
It turns out that men who have a higher body mass index last an average of 7.3 minutes in bed, while smaller men can barely keep it going for 108 seconds. Now, going off BMI, I think you're about to win a 5,000-meter hurdle.
Well, if you want to compare BMIs, I'm glad to do that. We could do that for charity. I don't care. We could do it. It certainly doesn't explain you about 5 seconds. You're the statistical anomaly in that study.
Yeah. Statistics, damn lies and statistics.
Yeah. 40% of people know that.
Also, I checked the other day. There's a few five-star reviews that we might look at next week. There's one that made me actually laugh out loud. So if you haven't done a five-star review, feel free to jump onto iTunes, punch out a five-star review. We'll definitely read them on the show. Yeah, there was a couple of good ones there, actually, we haven't read. So
yeah, jump on the SEN podcast as well and give them a few five-star reviews, even though you're not listening. Help the boys out.
Oh, I'll see you on Friday, Brooksy.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, well, because of tonight, we've been not in the same studio together. We've somehow cobbled this together. I thought as a special treat, we'll end the show with this classic song. So we'll see you all next week.
Has it aged well?
No.
You land in here, 'cause I've a story to tell,
and I'm telling it here.
I was born in a town in the great UK,
from a baby
to a boy
to a man today,
and I'm a musical man,
and I'm a man of birth,
but I got a little problem and it's getting worse. My life
was so well planned,
surviving and jiving
in a funk band,
'cause rapping is my
bread and butter,
but it's hard to rap when you're born with a stutter.
Well, no one's ever seen what I mean. From the age of 13, we've all been caught in a mousetrap. So join with us in the stir, 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 start a rap.
Well, it was 82 when I joined the boys,
and I was hip
and I was cool,
but now I lost my poise. The kids are fans are starting to doubt
when you open your mouth and
nothing comes out. And it breaks my heart that we're not on the chart,
'cause the record's nearly over when the vocals start.
And I'm down and out,
and I'm down on my luck, and I'm living on my own, and I'm dying for a friend to say
you're great,
but I'm under the hammer, 'cause all I seem to do is
come on, man,
stammer.
Well, no one's ever seen what I mean. From the age of 13, we've all been caught in a mousetrap. So join with us, rap.
Well, interviewers, turn away. Who wants to be
covered with spray?
Talking to me
for more than an hour
is equivalent to an April shower. It's tough,
tough,
tougher than tough. It's worse than Benny Hill,
and that's bad enough. Something must be wrong with your
vocal
technique
when the 12-inch mix
goes on for a week.
I was rapping in my club the other night when nothing I said was
coming out right. The crowd got angry,
and this one man,
he was gonna throw a bottle,
he was gonna chuck a can,
chuck a can, chuck a, chuck a, chuck a, chuck
a. Well, no one's ever seen what I mean. From the age of 13, we've all been caught in a mousetrap. So join with us in the stir, 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 stir.
No, 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 need for shouting.
Why is that then?
Will you make Mr. Whittaker at number 32?
Besides, it's not very good for the voice.
A bit harsh, isn't it?
No! Sleep till bedtime!
Talking of which, it's 10:30 already, is
it? What time do they stay up till in America?
Oh, very late. Sometimes 10:45.
Well, actually, I've heard in New York they sometimes even stay up till midnight.
No!
No wonder they do all that shouting.
Yes, they must be very snappy and irritable.
That's right.
You know, I heard a story that those toasty boys stayed up till 12:15.
Well, that's really just silly.
They're just going to get burnt out.
Burnt out.